Indeed, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Revelation song is a very, very powerful song. It's one of the more contemporary songs that have been added to what we sing in churches. And it's a very powerful and it's a very gut-wrenching song, one that reminds us of the God who we serve and the power of Jesus Christ. I'll do this later, dude. I'll see y'all.
I'm going to procrastinate this morning. not do this.
It's kind of like when I was thinking about this service, things like this ran through my mind. What's in your wallet? We've heard that one, right? What's in your wallet? Do you hear me now? Now, I know some of you don't hear me, so I'll try to speak louder. And if you get on my left side, I'm probably not going to hear you. And so I think about that one. The Energizer Bunny just keeps on going and going. Now, the Energizer Bunny and procrastination are not related. It's the opposite. And then I thought about Carly Simon. In her song, Anticipation. She could have had a follow-up hit if she'd have done Procrastination. That would have been a good song. I got to thinking about that one and what would be the words and the lyrics, to that song. But, you know, sometimes we sing the song Procrastination. It's our theme song sometimes. And so I was wondering, what are each one of us, you and I, what are we putting off today? We got a list. If I asked you to write down three things that you're putting off, I bet we could all do it. We put things off. Put it on the back burner. I'll do it later. I don't want to have to do it. You know, sometimes we put off making major decisions, right? Hard decisions. We kind of don't want to go there. So we put them off. Or tasks that are going to cost us something. I don't know. I got to think about that one. So I'll put it off. Sometimes it might require too much effort that I really have to get involved. I can't kind of stay away. I mean, the saying was when I was working at Central, it's probably good out. They'll hear it, but it'll be fine because when I hear it, I'm not there anymore. But you stay under the radar. You know, stay under the radar. And so we do that. Why do we do that? Well, I got to thinking about it. Procrastination, does it make you feel better? Not really. It adds stress. Think about it. Procrastination allows stress to build up and manifest within our life. So we got stress. We don't like admitting that there may be things that are hard for us and things that we might not can do on our own, and we have to ask what? The thing that we don't want to do, help. We're forced sometimes to ask for help because to ask for help is to admit defeat. It's kind of like, a guy's never going to ask for directions anywhere, even if you got GPS. You're not going to ask for directions. That's the worst thing you can do. We just don't do it. Fear of failure, anxiety, trauma. All of these are related to depression too. But procrastination can lead us into depression. It really can. Because we have that cloud hanging over us. Sometimes we are very easily derailed. Sometimes we are blindsided. Sometimes we get distracted. Because we fail very often to keep our eyes on the main thing. Now, here at Berea, we've tried to keep our eyes on the main thing. What is it? I'll get out of the way. That is our witness. That is what is seen every week. When you come into this congregation and you walk in that door, what do you see? This. If you join us on the live stream, what do you see? This. The cross of Jesus is the main thing. Now, the thing is being able to trust Jesus. Being able to hold on to it. To accept it. To know that Jesus can change our lives. You see, a lot of times we won't do something and we'll put it off because we're a perfectionist. Any perfectionists out here? Yeah, we're here. Or if we're not a perfectionist, if we're going to do it, it's got to be right. And we're not going to stop until it's what? Right in our eyes. Anybody like that? Yeah, we're here. We know about that. But you see, the real perfectionist, the one who really can make it right, is Jesus. That's where that comes from. The one we really want to follow is Jesus. The yoke we really want to take on is Jesus's yoke. There's some quotes I'd like to share with you that I found when I was working on this sermon on procrastination. One comes from Seneca, so we get one from classical culture. I like this one. While wasting our time hesitating and procrastinating, life goes on. That's how life passes us by. That's exactly how life passes us by. Now, last week, Phil shared with you a quote from a person by the name of Philip Zimbardo. And I've got another Zimbardo quote. But let me give you another story on Zimbardo, since we're talking about him 2 weeks in a row. Zimbardo made his reputation. Carol knows this story very well because she taught about it in sociology classes. But Zimbardo once did a study where he hired a group of students to play the role of prisoner and guard. And he set up a mock prison in the bottom of a building. And each person would be paid every day a wage for participating in the study. And the study was supposed to last for 2 weeks. And you could leave at any time. But the main thing was, is you were to play the role, prisoner and guard. Well, the students assumed these roles, and they found something very interesting. Some of the students, or some of the prisoners, could not get their arms around or their head around this idea of incarceration, being closed up. They were panicking because they what? Couldn't get out. But what could they have done? At any time they could have what? Walked away. We ever get ourselves in situations where we don't think that all we got to do is walk away, we continue to endure it? That's what they were doing. The guards. There were some that you could work real easy, and there were some that turned out to be real taskmasters. They had power, they had authority, and they used it. Zimbardo had to shut the experiment down after 5 days because things were getting so out of hand. That's the rest of that story, so I just thought I would just share that. Because it reminds us of the things that we can do to each other. And it's kind of like almost today, isn't it? You read the news and this is what you see. It's crazy. But Zimbardo had this other quote. People in life do not regret what they did. There's a lot of truth in that. People in this life do not regret what they did or what they do. But what they do not do, it's called regrets, isn't it? We have regrets. Every one of us has regrets. And then I like this one. Procrastination is opportunity's natural assassin. How many opportunities are obliterated through procrastination? We kill them right on the spot. So how do we address it? How do we address this procrastination? We address it by putting our trust firmly in God. Trusting in God and not ourselves. God is not going to procrastinate. But God does work on God's own timetable. That's a fact. But God is not going to procrastinate. We, on the other hand, if left to ourselves, if we can put something off or if we can avoid pain, what are we going to do? Put it off and procrastinate. So let me share a couple of scriptures that I believe give us God's response to procrastination. So if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Ecclesiastes. This is one of my favorite books of the Bible. I really love Ecclesiastes. And in the 11th chapter, verse 4 through 6, we have some really sound wisdom. And this happens to be one of the verses, a set of verses that I particularly like. In Ecclesiastes. So Ecclesiastes 11:4. One who watches the wind will not sow. Think about that. One who watches the wind will not sow. You ever lose yourself in daydreaming? All the time. All the time. My problem is I'll be driving down the road and I'll get my mind thinking about something. Then I come to and I realize I'm 5 miles down the road and I'm wondering how I got there. Had that experience? It ain't fun. It's not fun. It's kind of scary. But it happens. The one who looks at the clouds will not reap. You know, daydream, we're off somewhere. You know, come back. Just as you don't know the path of the wind or how bones develop in the womb of a pregnant woman, so also you don't know the work of God who makes everything. And this is where being able to trust God and what God is doing in situations, especially those situations we have no control over, that we think we have control over. God who makes everything. And this is what I like. This is a response to procrastination. Instead of laying back and doing nothing, move forward. In the morning, sow your seed. And at evening, do not let your hand rest. In other words, if you're going to be sowing something, do it what? All the time. All the time. Because you don't know which will succeed, whether one or the other, or if both of them will be equally good. Because it's not in our hands, it's in what? God's hands. Now, there's certain things that we need to do and that they're important that we do. But ultimately, the outcome is with who? God. God. That's where the trust is. That's what we forget. Now, turn if you would. And so with this one, this reminds me of the thing of that we have to get involved. We have to trust God and be willing to move forward. Let me give you a practical application. When I was a professor at Central, one of my jobs, of course, was to teach. The other was to do research and to publish research and to move through the ranks. You had to publish a certain amount of stuff, had to be peer reviewed, and you had to have a publication record. So I was able to do a lot of publishing and got a lot of things published. And I'm not trying to toot horn or anything like that. It was part of what I had to do at that point. But you know what the hardest part about research is? Quit doing the research. Yeah, you got it. Because eventually you got to write it. You got to write something down. You can sit there researching and researching and researching and never get it done. And it dawned on me, I'm just procrastinating. That's all I'm doing. I'm procrastinating. At some point, you got to start writing. So I would always tell Sue, just put something down. You can always change it. But just put something down and get started. That's what Ecclesiastes is telling us. Quit waiting. Quit looking up at the sky. Quit looking at the clouds. Start living your life and allow God to guide you. And then Jesus gives us a very powerful response to procrastination. It's in the Sermon on the Mount. So if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. I like these verses a lot too. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. Ask, seek, and knock. In other words, quit looking up in the what? Sky or the clouds, but do something. Allow God to lead each one of us. For everyone who asks receives. Now, it doesn't say when you're going to receive it. It just says we receive. For everyone who asks, receives. And for the one who seeks, you find. Again, it doesn't say when you'll find it. It just says you will find it. See, sometimes some things take a lifetime, don't they? They really do. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. But see, when we're procrastinating, are we asking? No. Are we seeking? Not really. Are we knocking? No. I like to call procrastinating being stuck in neutral. You're not doing anything. But what? Idling. Idling. So ask, search, and knock. And so this is what Jesus asked us to do. This keeps us engaged in being part of the kingdom of God, in part of being more Christ-like as we spread the good news. Now, I want to close with this point. Some things in life are time-stamped. If we procrastinate too long, we miss it, right? You miss it. Opportunities come and they what? Go by. There's one song that maybe we'll sing it again. We haven't sung in a long time. It's a song which has a deep meaning to it. It's one we used to sing a lot, but you don't hear it much anymore. It's the song Almost Persuaded. Remember that song? That's a good song. Go back, I'm gonna share it with you. But go back and meditate on this song. I'm gonna be a teacher for a minute. I'm gonna give you a homework assignment. Go back and meditate on Almost Persuaded. It's a powerful song. Notice what it says. Almost persuaded now to believe. Not quite, I'm almost there. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. I'm thinking about it. It's on my mind. And then it goes on. Go, Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day. How many important things do we do when it's convenient? Yeah, that's why we're laughing, because we don't. Some more convenient day. Almost persuaded, come here today. Almost persuaded, turn not away. Then it goes on into the third verse. Jesus can save from every sin, cleanse you without, within. Will you not let him in? Open the door. In other words, do not procrastinate, but what? Trust. Ask, seek, knock. Almost persuaded. And then it says, almost is but to fail. Now that's reality. That's reality. Because almost means what? Nothing. Nothing. Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad, that bitter wail. Almost but lost. And then it goes on. Jesus is near. His voice is pleading still. Turn now with heart and will. Peace will your spirit fill. Oh, turn today. Now, I'm not laying a guilt trip on anybody. I'm just going to speak some truth. There's some things that we put off doing which have eternal consequences. And we don't know at the time. I think about Linda. A month ago, she was where? Right here. Now, where is she? With her Lord. You see? We never know, none of us know when we will draw our last breath or be raptured up. We don't know when that's going to be. All we have is right now. And how we live our life right now makes all the difference. All the difference. So, how do we grapple with all of this? Let's close with Hosea. Hosea the prophet, chapter 10, verse 12. Here are our actions. Here is a prescription for procrastination. Sow righteousness for yourself. Translation, may we all be more Christ-like. May we all be more Christ-like in everything that we do. Break up your unplowed ground because we can reap faithful love. See, God's love is there for us. Some of us never what? Break ground. Now, my backyard's a bunch of mud right now because it's been aerated. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it. And so, seeds down, but it's got to be watered. So, I pray for rain. But it's got to be watered. You got to do something. Break up your unplowed ground. It is time to seek the Lord until he comes. He's come once and he's coming what? Again. Seek the Lord until he comes and sends righteousness on you like the rain. In other words, don't just look at the clouds. Pray for rain. allow the rain to come, and then do a little bit like what Gene Kelly did. Get you an umbrella and go out there and dance in the rain. Because the rain is God's tears of joy. And it's a blessing for each one of us. May we not procrastinate. May we not be almost persuaded. May we be all in serving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen.